Today's daf is daf samach in Chulin. We're back. We're on Nun Tes. We're towards the bottom of the Amud Simanei Chaya. Okay, right alongside, it's just perfect alignment with the parasha this week, Parshas Re'eh. So we are discussing the Siman, and what are the signs of a kosher animal? The Torah already tells us the signs of a kosher animal. Split hooves, chewing its cud. The Torah does not give us simanim for birds. We'll talk more about that later this morning. We spoke a little bit about it yesterday. A lot of agadot are coming up today. Okay, we're going to take a break from the halacha and go to agadot, but not yet. A little more to go in terms of the halacha. Simanei chaya, we talked about the simanim of chaya. So as I mentioned yesterday, there are basically animals that are compartmentalized into two categories. There's behemoth and then there's chaya. In English, what basically the way we say it is, a behemoth is like a domesticated animal, and a chai is a non-domesticated animal. Okay, it's a way to try to organize the information. Generally speaking, we say that a behemoth is something which is qualified to be brought as a carbon on the mizbeach. So you have a cow, you have a goat, you have a sheep, right? Things that could be herded. So those are the things that could be brought as a carbon on the mizbeach. Chaya, non-domesticated animals, are things which are wild, right? More in the forest, deers, gazelles, and all these animals that I know very little about. Okay, giraffes. Anyway, there's a significant difference between behemoth and chaya, notably that the fats, the chaylev, of a behemoth is usur. You're not allowed to eat the fats of a behemoth. Doing so incurs a kares penalty. Right, it's very, very serious to eat the fats of a behemoth. We talked earlier in the Masechta about what exactly are the fats of the animal, right? The forbidden fats of the animal. And when it comes to a chaya is fine. So it's extremely important to note what is a behemoth versus what is a chaya, because once I establish that's a chaya, so I'm allowed to eat the chaylev, I'm allowed to eat the fats. The fats are not forbidden. So it's under abundance. So that's where the Gemara begins. We're on the bottom of the Nesesim Adalaf, Elo Hein Simanei Chaya. So these are the siman of a chaya. Chaya b'chal behemahi, l'simanim. So the Gemara says, what are you saying? In other words, chaya behema, in terms of basic simanim, are the same, meaning split hoofs, chewing the cud. So what are you driving at? So the Gemara explains very simply, Amar Rabbi Zeira, lahatir chalba. Right. In general, to determine whether it's kosher versus not kosher, 100% correct. Split hoofs, chewing its cud, that's a determination of kosher, both for behema and for chaya. What we mean to do now, says Rabbi Zeira, is that we want to establish what is a chaya in terms of the allowance of eating the chaylev. V'hachi kamar, eila, in simani chaya shechal b'mutter. Kol sheyeshlo, and here now the Gemara gives us a way to know. Karnayim utlafim. So it has horns and hoofs. No. Okay, good. So the Gemara just now established for us that in order to know what is a chaya, look for horns and look for hoofs. Rabbi Dos Omer, Yeshlo Kanaim, Yatatzarach Lachzor al Talafim. Well, if it has Karen, if it has horns, so you don't have to look at the hoofs. And Yeshlo Talafim, and it has hoofs, Tzarach Lachzor al Kanaim. You have to still look for the Karnayim, you have to still look for the horns. The horns are going to be the more significant aspect of determining whether it's a chaya. The keres. And now we talk about the keres. Now, what the keres actually is, so unclear, right? Could be an antelope, right? Our friend over here in Tmunei Chol makes a suggestion that maybe the keres is a reference to a giraffe, perhaps. Okay. Afa pisha einlo ela keren achas. It's only got one horn. Okay? In the picture book, in Tmunei Chol, so he tries to illustrate exactly where the one horn of the giraffe is, although giraffes have also two little horns behind that. But anyway, the point is, Afa pisha einlo ela keren achas mutter. So even though it only has one horn, nevertheless, it's going to be mutter. Okay, good. So keres aside, the Gemara now gives us what is really an unbelievably simplistic way of determining whether something's a chaya versus a behema, and that is look for the horns. Uklalahu, the Gemara says, what are you saying? Vahare eiz, the eishlo karnayim v'talafim, v'chabasar. Right? I'm sure everyone was thinking this. You have a goat. Goat's got horns. Goat has hooves. And a goat's not a chaya. Goat's a behema. So, right? So, the Gemara is just a simple question of the Gemara. What's going on? So, the Gemara is now going to help us give us a much more detailed qualification of what a chaya is. Kruchos be'ina. So the horns have to be rounded, rounded horns. So the Gemara says, okay, go to a shore, go to an ox, and you're going to find these rounded horns. And you know, an ox is a behemoth, it's not a chaya. Charukos be'inan. They need to have notches on them. So the Gemara says, okay, but you go to the goat, and the goat's got notched horns. Mifutsalos be'inan. Now, mifutsalos, what exactly that means? So, subject to somewhat of a discussion. But Rashi is of the position that mefutzalos means that they are forked. The Torah gives a long list of those that are kosher chayas, meaning this week's parsha, you'll see. But
the discussion
you have here is to differentiate between kosher chaya from kosher behema. Right, you want to know the difference between chaya and behemoth, because when you have a chaya now, there's no forbidden fats. All the fats of a chaya are permissible.
But there's a
wild
goat and a domesticated goat.
Okay, fine. So, again, you know I'm not the person to turn to in terms of knowing the animal kingdom, but here the Gemara is giving us a basic guideline in terms of what is considered a kosher chaya. So the Gemara says, mefutsalos bein, and so they need to be forked. Okay, vahari tzvi. Okay, the Gemara says, okay, but we have the tzvi, right? We generally translate it as a deer. Okay. Right, Rashi identifies it over here as an ibex. Okay, you can take a look at your picture book for a nice picture of the ibex. Okay, regardless.
If it's an ibex, how do you say deer in Hebrew?
Good, fair question. Rashi over here says that generally speaking, tzvi is a deer, but just not in this particular discussion, right? You look at Rashi. Tzvi de'ein mefutzalos lo yadana. I'm reading Rashi. Lo yadana my kamar da havada mefutzalos hein. Right? For sure, they are forked. The horns are forked on a deer. V'nir be'inai she masha anu karin tzvi lo hayusham karin tzvi. Right? It's not what we call a tzvi. Ela osan enikrayin Steinbeck. The karnayim shalahem einu mefutzalos. Okay, so Rashi acknowledges that that's not what we generally say is a deer. So let's go back to the Gemara. Vare ezer charukos. Sorry. Vare tzvi deim mefutzalos v'chobam mutter. So the Gemara says chaduros be'inan. Okay, so there the Gemara says that those are pointed. Okay, the pointed horns that end in a pointy shape, that is for sure a chaya, not a behemah. Hilkach. Okay, a lot of information on the table the Gemara organizes. Hecha de miftsala, lo dina velo dina. Okay, so if it's mifutsalos, if they're forked, okay, if the horns are forked, so the Gemara says, lo dina velo dina, you don't need a judge. Meaning, you're good. You know absolutely that this animal now conforms under the category of a chaya, and you're done. Now, what if it's not forked? So now, be'inan, kruchos, chaduros, v'charukos. So now they need to be rounded. They need to have notches, and they need to be rounded. They need to, chaduros, they need to have grooves, and they need to have notches. The hu demivle charkaihu. And it needs to be aligned. The notches need to be aligned. There needs to be some sort of symmetry to it. Behind Usfeka de Iza Karchos. And the Gemara says, and we have a doubt. There was a particular goat that they had where they were doubtful in terms of what status is it. Is it a behemoth? Is it a chaya? And the Gemara says, because it kind of conformed to this last description, but the Gemara says, but not totally clear. Ha'i Iza Karchos, Ahava Be'eresh Kalusa. The Gemara now talks about the controversy of this type of goat. The Reish Galusa owned this type of goat. The Akram Aletzina de Tarba Minei. They shechted it. Now again, it's kosher. That's not up for discussion. Everyone agrees that this goat was kosher. The only thing up for discussion was, debate, is it a chai or is it a behema? And again, the big nafkamina is, can I eat the fats of such an animal? So they had this kind of Iza Karkus, and they shechted it, and they collected the fat from it, and they put the fat in the basket. Rav Achai Aser. The Rav Achai says, okay, you can't eat the fat. Meaning he was of the opinion that this is a behemoth, or at least it's a suffolk, and so therefore you can't eat the fat. Rav Shmuel bereid Rabbi Abahu, achal minei. And Rav Shmuel did eat the fat from it. Okay, controversial. Kari anafshe mi pri P'ish tisba bit, no. Okay, according to the pasuk, that the person satiated himself from it, meaning he felt that it was totally permissible. Okay, the halacha comes out, and the halacha is, it's okay. However, but Rabbeinu Achai says that it was asur, and in deference, out of respect for him, he is meir in egola, he enlightens the exile, and so out of respect and out of deference to him, I would not recommend eating it, but strict letter of the halacha is that it is in fact mutter. Okay.
Now, isn't there someone called Rabbeinu Chai that's a Rishon? Or?
Yeah, the Rabbeinu Meir Hagolah, I'm sorry, Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom, the, one of the early Ashkenazim, he was called the Meir Hagolah, the light of the exile. Oh. He wasn't the first person who got that label. Okay? The correct, that would be another Nafka Mina. Right. The Gemara doesn't mention Kisui Adam over here. Kisui Adam is, you know, you're right. That it's another Nafka Mina. It's just not as death-defying, if you will, as Chalev. Chalev, if you eat Chalev, it's an Issachares. Right? If you don't cover the blood, it's just a bitul asay. Not minimizing, but, you know, relatively speaking.
How much extra effort is it to cover the blood?
Right. Correct. Right, and on the suffix, you would just simply cover the blood, and that's it. You wouldn't make a bracha. Okay, Amar Rav Yehuda. Keres Tavya, Debei Eli. Okay, Tigras Aryeh Debei Eli. There was, Debei Eli, Rashi says, a type of forest, right? Ya'ar, name of a particular forest. So there was the antelope and the deer of this forest. There was a Tigras Aryeh, some sort of lion. Okay. Rashi's also unclear about this. But anyway, Amar Rav Kahana, Teisha Amasa Have Ben Una Leuna, the Aryeh de Beilai. This lion, okay, talk about what we would might call mythical creatures, but they're not mythical. The Gemara describes them, and the Gemara gives very clear delineations in terms of how big they were. So from one ear to the other ear, this lion was 9 amas wide. 9 amas wide puts it somewhere in the ballpark of 18 feet, right? You want to be a little more conservative, 15 feet. 15 feet wide, okay? Amar Rav Yosef Shitzar Amasa Have Mashche Detavya De Beilai. You go back to the deer of this forest, the forest of Beilai, and the hide is 16 amas long. All right.
Well, this is
After it's been shechted, yeah.
Oh, both of these are after the
fact. Right. And by the way, it's right, 16 amas long, so you're now in the ballpark of 32 feet, again, approximately. So, okay, so these are obviously huge creatures. So, Amale, Kesel Rav Yeshua ben Hananya. So, we're going to have now, we are going to flow seamlessly into Agadata. Okay, stay tuned for the next Amud of Gemara. You know, next daf of Gemara, we're going to be in the world of Agadata. We're going to have discussions, conversations between dignitaries and Tanayim, between Apikorsim and Tanayim. Okay, so we start off with a conversation between the case of the Caesar and Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya. So the Caesar starts off the conversation, Elokechem ka'aryeh matil. You know, your God is like a lion, and I'm not the one who made the comparison. It's a pasuk and amos, tichziv. When the lion roars, no one's going to be afraid. And this is obviously a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So my Ravusa, and the Caesar says, you know, I'm not super impressed because Parsha Katal Aryeh. You get a brave horseman so he can kill a lion. So the Caesar obviously was letting out a blasphemous comment that even if your God is compared to a lion, I don't see that as being such a big deal. That's what the Caesar says. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya says in defense, no, you don't got it right. Lav kahai aryeh matil. We're not talking about a regular lion. Ka aryeh de Beilai matil. No, you got to talk about the lion of Beilai. The lion of Beilai, that's a huge creature. That can't be killed by any horseman. So Amar Lei be'ina de Mechzis le'nihala. So the Caesar says, come on, really, there's such a creature? I don't believe it, right? Like, would respond like, you know, any rational human being. I've never seen it. It doesn't exist. So Amalei lo matzis chazis lei. So Rav Yishuv ben Chananya says he can't see it, right? Just won't be able to. So Amalei ivra chazin alei. The Caesar insisted, no, I want to see it. So bar rachamei ta'aka meduchte. So Rav Yishuv ben Chananya does a little tefillah. He prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the line is coming out. Ki hava marchik arba mea parse neham. So the line gets within 400 parsa of where they are. 400 parsa is still a huge distance away. And the line lets out a roar. Chad kala afilu kol ma'avrata v'shura derume nafo. Women started miscarrying with this roar of the lion. Ademircha klas mea parse. It's 300 parses within distance. Niham kola. And again, the lion lets out a roar. I'm sorry, Niham kola achrina. Natur kache vishine degavre. People's teeth started coming out of their mouth. Kache vishine kache. The canine shine, the molars, the shine, the incisors. Okay? They started coming out. V'af hu nafal mikursi la'are. And the Caesar, who was sitting on his throne, was thrown off his throne and sitting now on the ground as a result of the roar of this particular lion. Okay, obviously the Caesar, yeah, this is Agarata. Okay, this everyone please understand, this is Agarata. I'm simply giving the literal translation of the Gemara over here. Obviously the Gemara is meant to be going into depth, and I'm not going to go into depth, but everyone understand, this is Agarata. Amarle b'matusa minach. So the Caesar says, please, enough. Meaning, right, we don't want it to come any closer. By rachamei Allah, de lahad de laduchte. Pray that it goes back to its original location. By rachamei Allah, v'yahad de lelasrei. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya did. He prays, and the line goes back to its original location. Next conversation, Amar le kesa le Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya, be'ina de'achse lelokaicho. I want to see God. Okay? This is his demand of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya. So he gives a response which, right, he's not human, he's not corporal, he's incorporeal, you will not be able to see him. And he insists, no, I want to see him. So, on a strong summer day, he takes the Caesar outside and he says, okay, let's start here. Okay, training. You want to see God? We need a little training. Okay, so here's what you're going to do. Just stare directly at the sun. Okay, on a strong summer day, in the middle of the day. So the Caesar says, what do you mean? You can't stare directly at the sun. What are you talking about? So Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya says, okay, good. You couldn't even handle batting practice, right? So Amalei Yuma Dechad Mishamshe Dekai Mekame Dekut Shabrichu Amat Lo Matzina Listekula Be Shchina Lo Kol Shekain. So look, the sun is just a shamish of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's just a servant of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can't even look at the servant. You really expect to be able to look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So Amalei Kesel Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya. Okay. So now next conversation, next demand. So the Kesel says to Rabbi Yishuv ben Chananya, Bina Di Itzvaslei Nahamalei Lo Kaichu. I want to set up a feast for your God. A Seuda. So Amar Lomatzis. So again, Rav Yishuv ben Chananya says, you can't do that. You won't be able to. Am I? Okay, Caesar asks a simple question. Why not? Nefishe Chavase. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got legions. Attendants. You won't be able to feed everybody. Okay. Amar Le Ivra. So again, the Caesar insists. Amle pokes vis legida de revisa de reviche ama tarachshisa yarche kaite. So for 6 months he sets up by the riverbank. Okay, in the summertime. Asa zika, now it's the end of the summer, and we of course here in Florida know what happens at the end of the summer. Hurricane. There are other ways in other, you know, other parts of the world to know the end of the summer, right? We now know it's the end of the summer. Okay, so asa zika, so kanche, so the wind comes, and blows away all the preparations that he made. So lema tarach shisa yachid esisva. So he tries to during the winter months. Asa mitra, but at the end of the winter comes a little bit of rain, or a lot of rain, if you will, and tave beyama, and drowns everything into the ocean. And he understands now, the case understands, he will not be able to feed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar lei mai hai, amar lei hani kenushai zeluchai dasekamei. Those were just the sweepers and the washers that were in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you couldn't even satisfy them. You won't be able to do it. And the Caesar has full recognition that that is absolutely correct. I will not be able to provide a meal for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Amarle Bat Kesar, L'Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. We now talk to about the daughter of Caesar. Daughter of Caesar has a conversation with Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, and she says, Elokechem Nagrohu. Your God is a carpenter. Okay. Dechsiv. And on what basis does she make such a suggestion? Hamikara b'mayim aliyosa. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu, the pasuk in Tehillim, right? We're familiar with this pasuk. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is setting up a roof made up of water, right? Our world has a roof that's made up of water. It's otherwise known as the skies, the heaven, where sometimes it leaks. It's called rain. So hamikara b'mayim aliyosa. Emale denave lechade masturaisa. So she says now here. Again, with so many of these Gemaras, Agada to Gemaras, you don't hear the tone. I don't always know if I'm reading the tone correctly, right? It's one of the tricky parts, I think, about reading Agada to. And she says it now. She says it sarcastically. She says it, out of legitimate interest. Not 100% sure. But based on the sequence of the story, though, it does seem that she's saying it with sarcasm. And she's saying it with degradation. Sounds that way. Although, again, I'm not 100% confident that that's correct. So, Emele Denavele Chade Masturaisa. So, you know what I want him to make me? Make me a spinning spool for thread. So, Amele Chaye. So, Yeshua ben Chananya says, fine. That's what you want God to make you? Okay. He'll make it for you. So, Bai Rachame Aleha, the In Ga'a. And, so, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya prays. And she becomes a mitzora. She has leprosy. Usve b'shuke derome v'yavele masteraisa. And the Gemara gives us the background information so that we really fully appreciate what's going on right now. She sits in the marketplace and she has a spool in her hand. Da'avu nehige dechol demanga berome. This is the minhag of Rome. Yavele masteraisa v'yase b'shuke. Visarsa dulili. The minhag in Rome is that if you become mitzora, afflicted with saras, so you sit in the marketplace with a spool and you spin thread. And that's the minhag in Rome. So that people will see you and they'll pray upon you. Now, I'm suggesting, okay, and I don't know if I'm correct about this, the significance of the spool and spinning thread. We all know that you get saras. One of the causes of saras is lashon hara, and when you are speaking lashon hara, you have the same expression in English as well, right? You're spinning thread. So it could very well be that the significance of spinning thread, right, holding the spool in your hand, is an indication that I spoke lashon hara and I have saras. And okay, could be that that's the significance of the spool. Yumachan avakachalav hasam havayas v'sasra dulali b'shuka. And now, her fate, because of her request, is that now she's sitting in the market, and she's spinning thread because she has saras, and Rav Yeshua ben Chananya passes her one day, and Amar La, so Rav Yeshua ben Chananya says to her, Shapirsa Masteraisa Dayar V'lach Elokai, and he says to her, and here you can hear the sarcasm. You like the spool that God made for you? Okay, you asked for it, you got it. Amrale, she says to him, Emele lekaich lishkol. So, I'm sorry, lishkol mai diahivle. Mai diahivli. So she says to him, could you please ask God to take it back? Amrala, so he says to her, Elahandi dan, mehav yaiv, mishkalo shakiv. You should know something about our God. He gives, he doesn't take it back. Okay. Amr of Yehuda. Okay. The Gemara is going to just go back to a little bit of halacha, and then we're going to go back to Agadita. I'm Rav Yehuda. Sure, the ox, karsa samu parsa sam rav, the stomach and the hooves of the ox is very large. Reshe, Rav Reshe, its head as well. Rav Genuvte, the tail as well. V'chilufa b'chamra. And by a donkey, everything's the exact opposite. Okay? So the large parts of the ox are the small parts by the donkey. Lamai nafkamina? Gemara says, okay, good. So what's the nafkamina? Lamekochu memka? The nafkamina is going to be eBay. Okay? Meaning that when you sell, right, parts of an animal, and buyer and seller have a communication, and buyer says to, and seller says to buyer, right, this is a part of a donkey, the expectation should be that it's small. And if the communication between buyer and seller says to the buyer, it's an ox, the expectation should be that it's large. And when we're talking about buying and selling, we're talking about expectation. That's important because if there is a particular expectation and the expectation is not met, that's what we call mekach taos, right? The sale is null and void. So, right, then this, right, any type of eBay sale, you have a lot of that where you're trying to communicate buyer and seller. And sometimes expectation was, you know, wait a second, I didn't know that that's what I was buying. So, right, that's the Gemara says over here, that's the nafkamina. Amar of Yehuda, shor shehikriv Adam harishon karen achas haisalo b'mitzcho. The ox that Adam harishon brought as a carbon had one horn on his head. Now, we could say the word unicorn, but we don't know. By all means. Okay. I'll tell you what it is. It's an ox with one horn on its head. Okay, that's what it is. Haytalo b'mitzchah shenemar v'titav l'Hashem yishor par makrin mafris. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, and it would please the Kadosh Baruch Hu shor par makrin umafris. It had a horn and it had hooves. So the Gemara says, first of all, from this pasuk, how do you know it only had one horn? The Torah says makrin, right, with the yud. The yud is significant. Yud indicates that's plural. So tarte mashma, Rav Nachman, makren or mikeren ksiv. So yes, we pronounce it makrin, but if you look at the ksiv, the way it was written in Tehillim, it's written without the yud, that indicates singular. Okay, so it only had one horn. Also, another thing. You get to the classic chicken-egg discussion, okay? And the Gemara over here has a very clear position on the chicken-egg discussion. It's funny. Right? Every time the chicken-egg discussion comes up, you go back to the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Samech, and it's really, the answer is right here. The shore that Adam brought as a carbon to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the keren came before the parsa. The horn developed before the hoof, okay? I'm going to just give us a basic idea of how to understand this. You know I wasn't there. But it developed vertically, if you will. Meaning first head, and then all the way down to the hoof. Shenemar v'titav Hashem yishor par makrin mafris. The Gemara generates this based on the pasuk. The pasuk has Karen coming before the Paris. Makrin b'resha v'hadar mafris. Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, and this position that the Gemara takes, the Gemara's quotation of Rav Nachman, is fully supportive of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Dam Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kol ma'aseh b'reishis, b'kol mason nivru. Everything of creation was created b'kol mason. Now, kol mason usually means standing up, right? There is a tosfos. Is it over here? I think so. Yeah. Top tosfos on the page. It doesn't mean that they were actually standing, but it means in form. They were created in form. B'da'ata nivra b'tzivyonam nivru. Meaning fully formed. Tzivyonam means beauty. Shenemar v'yichul ha'shamayim v'aretz v'chol tzivaam. I'll take right tzivaam el tzivyonam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished creation, going into Shabbos. So he created it b'chol tzivaam. I'm sorry, v'chol tzivaam. Don't read it, Tzivam, read Tzivyonam, with its full beauty. Everything was created and fashioned in full form. Darush Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, Yichvar Hashem le'olam, Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. Another pasuk we are very familiar with, say it every morning in Pesukah de Zimra, the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'olam is forever. Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. Pasuk zeh, sar ha'olam amru. This pasuk, who was the first one who articulated it? Meaning, obviously, David HaMelech wrote it in Tehillim, but as we know, David HaMelech writes something in Tehillim doesn't mean that he was the one who authored it. Could be that it was said earlier to David, he just simply codified it. He wrote it in Sefer Tehillim. This pasuk was said by Sar HaOlam. Sar HaOlam Malach HaMemuna. It is a ministering age, a ministering angel. Amru b'shasha amar kadosh baruch hu leminehu. I'm sorry. Amru b'shasha amar kadosh baruch hu leminehu bi'ilanos. Now, kadosh baruch hu gave instructions in creation, and he said regarding the trees, they should be created leminehu, each one its own species. Meaning, he told the trees when he formed them, when you come into this world, every species to itself, right? Oak, cedar, palm. Every tree should be its own independent tree, and he instructed the trees no crossing. Okay. Nasu d'shaim kavachomer ba'atzmam. Now the grass, when the grass heard this, so the grass says, you know, we it's instructive for us. Why? Im ritzon shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'irvivya lama amar limineu bi'ilanos. Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a crossed and mixed up world where things get intermingled. So why did he tell the trees, liminehu, that I want you trees to develop as independent species and no crossing? Va'od kavachomer. And now the grass took this position and argued it even one step further. Uma ilano shein darkan latzeis b'irvuvia. Now trees, generally speaking, when they grow distinct of one another. The very nature of a tree is a tree obviously needs a lot of room, a lot of real estate. And the trees don't usually intermingle with one another. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Leminehu. And still HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, I want you to grow Leminehu as independent species with no crossing. So Anu Al Achas Kama V'Kama. So the grass said, if the trees were instructed, and that's their very nature, you can only imagine that we have instruction as well. So again, everyone understand that the Gemara here is formulating a kavachomer within a gadita, meaning obviously on the superficial level, trees don't argue, grass doesn't argue, but the Gemara now, all this is going to turn into baseline halacha, possibly baseline halacha. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. But anyway, the grass now is making a logical argument, what we call kavachomer. If the trees were instructed not to mingle, and it's not even their nature to mingle, you can only imagine that our instructions as well are not to mingle. Okay, so grass also should grow independent of one another, no crossing. Miyad kol echa ve'echa yatsa limino. The grass, when it came up as its own separate species with no irvuvia, no mixing. Pasach sar ha'olam va'amar, and this now prompted the sar ha'olam, the ministering angel of the world, to say, Yichvar Hashem le'olam yismach Hashem ma'asav. Kadosh Baruch Hu was very, very pleased with his creations and the creatures of the creation. Because, in other words, they understood the raton habore, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said something to the trees, the grass said, okay, same thing by us as well. Chavachom. By Ravina. Okay, so now you think that all this is a gadita, and it is, but then the Gemara says, but now, does it translate into halacha? We know one of the Yisurim of the Torah is kalayim, that we're not allowed to cross. We're not allowed to cross animals, we're not allowed to cross plants and trees as well. Okay, by Ravina, here Krishna Deshaim Zal Gav Zeh. So what if I cross grass? Is there an Isser of Kalayim on crossing blades of grass? La Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa Mahu. So, and the question really is in regard to Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, who was the one who formulated this Kavachomer that the grass made. So Mahu, Kevin de Lokasa Buhulamineo Lamechayev, on one hand, the argument is the Torah didn't instruct the grass, meaning all we have is liminehu by trees. So we know that we're not allowed to cross trees. Okay. But, so on one hand, there is no actual instruction that the grass is not allowed to be crossed. However, On the other hand, the grass made a kal vachomer, and we know that the Sar HaOlam, the ministering angel of the world, said regarding the kal vachomer, oh, excellent kal vachomer, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu was yismach v'masav, the Kadosh Baruch Hu was happy with his creation. So maybe the kal vachomer that was formulated by the grass actually means that we're not allowed to cross the grass. And to that, the Gemara says, take what the Gemara says, unresolved. Meaning, good question, I don't know. Okay. Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Ramiksev, Vayasal kemishnei ha-ma'aros ha-gidolim. I think everyone knows this Agadata coming up. Right? One form of it or another. Kadosh Baruch Hu made two lights. Two sources of lights. Uksiv esamor gadol vesamor katan. And then, all of a sudden, one light becomes the big one, and then the other one becomes a small one. Okay? We all, of course, know what we're talking about. Sun and moon. Okay? Sun and moon started off as two big luminaries, and then sun becomes the big light, and the moon becomes the little light. So the Gemara gives us a little bit of background. And the moon says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't understand. What's your plan? Two kings? World can't function with two kings. Country can't function with two kings. There's got to be only one king. Amar La. So he says to the moon, Lichi. Right? Interesting, by the way. There's a conversation over here taking place between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the moon. Moon is masculine or feminine? Trust me, I'm always stuck. In other words, you ask me the question, I wouldn't know the answer as well. So please don't. No one feel embarrassed right now, right? Moon, right? Yareach. Moon is feminine, masculine. From the Lavana is feminine. Yeah, that we all agree. Yareach. Okay. So from the Gemara, it's very clear that it's feminine because Amar La, he says to her, right? Take a look. Take a look at the top Tosfos on the Amud. Lashon Torah, Lashon Zacharhu. Anytime the Torah talks about the Yareach, it talks about it in the masculine. Dichsiv Yareach Amud. Yeah. Okay. Makes the discussion of genderizing the, you know, these things even more confusing when sometimes in the Torah it's referred to as masculine, yeah, and here in the Gemara it's feminine. Okay. I'm not the one who Tosfos made this discovery. Anyway, Amar La, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the moon, Lechi ume'ate es atzmeich. I said it correctly. At least in the context of the Gemara, I said it correctly. So, okay, so minimize yourself. Amar lefan ribono sholam hol ve'amak lefanecha davar hagon im it et atzmi. So the moon says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, wait a second, you're punishing me, but I made a good point. It's not fair. Meaning, okay, maybe I could have said it more respectfully, right? But I'm right. You don't have two kings, so right? So Amar La. So he says to her, Lechi umushol bayom uvalayla. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, how about this? You'll be Moshe both during the day and during the night, right? The moon is visible both during the day and during the night. The sun is not. The sun is only visible during the day. So Amar La, my Rebuse, Deshrag b'tiara mi ahane. So the moon says back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, okay, good. So I'm visible during the day. Yay. Right? But if Shraga B'tihara, a candle during the day, is it helpful to anybody? Is anybody going to want it? So Amalei Zil Limna Bach Yisrael Yamim Vishanim. So more consolation, more nechama from Kadosh Baruch Hu to the moon. The Jewish people will use you as their count. And when they count days and years, they're going to look towards you. Amrle Yuminami Iafsha Dolo Manube Tkufa Sa Dichsiv Ayulo Sosal Mawadim Leyamim Vishanim. Okay, good. But still, Tkufa, we talk about the seasons. Seasons are going to follow the sun. And as much as the Jewish people will use me as their guide for counting the year, but still, the sun is going to dictate the season, and it's still going to, the seasons are still going to follow the sun. Zil Likrate Sadike Bishmecha. Again, more words of nechama from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the moon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the moon, Tzadikim will be called by you. Yaakov HaKatan, Shmuel HaKatan, David HaKatan. Right? So in other words, you're small, but I'll name tzaddikim after you as well. So Akash Baruch Hu sees that as much as he tries to console the moon over its loss, the moon was inconsolable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will have to now bring a kapara for myself because I was memai the yarech, because I minimized the moon. And now we will understand pshat. And think about this every Rosh Chodesh.
Wow.
Right? That every Rosh Chodesh by the seer it says, Shenemar bo la Hashem. It says, Seir la Hashem. It's a goat for God. What does that mean? The Gemara now says, now we know pshat. The Seir is a kapara for a Kadosh Baruch Hu because he was memayit the yareach. Okay. Very famous agadata. Do I fully understand the agadata? Right? You all know the answer. I don't fully.
Does it resolve the contradiction?
No, the contradiction is now. Correct. So, because the original plan was that the original design is that there were in fact two big lights.
But the thing is that the sun reflects the light. I'm sorry, the moon reflects the light of the sun. It doesn't have light on its own. So how could it be called a great light? It's a reflective entity.
So we're saying that only because of our experience with the moon and sun. We don't know what the original plan was. Could have been different.
Well, I'll show you.
Yes.
In science, this pasuk is not contradictory. From outside, the moon and the sun are large, they look one big and one small. But if you look from the standpoint of the earth,
right, from our perception,
without having them the same,
right, from our perception, they're exactly the same size. Mm-hmm. Right, that's correct. Okay, Rav Asi Ramiksev, we continue. We're still in Agarata, we will be here in Agarata for the remainder of the day. Rav Asi Ramiksiv Vatote Arutz Desha Betlas B'Shabasam. Okay, so when did the grass come out? So the grass came out on Tuesday. Okay, grass Tuesday. So, but the Gemara says V'Ksiv V'Cholsiya Chasada Termiyeh Ba'Arutz B'Malei Shabasam. But meanwhile, when did the grass actually grow? It only grew on Friday. We're talking about the week of creation, right? So Tuesday there was grass. Kadosh Baruch Hu created grass, but meanwhile it didn't sprout until Friday. So that means like this. The grass was there, created on Tuesday, but didn't actually break surface, didn't breach the ground, was waiting, crouching and waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for tefillah, meaning Adam Rishon came, Adam Rishon davened, then the rain came down, and then the grass grew. Melamed lalamdecha shehakadosh baruch hu mitav l'tefilasam shel tzadikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillah of tzadikim. So even though the grass is already created, but tefillah, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the tefillah, and that's what actually caused the grass to grow.
Why did he have to pray for rain? He had everything he needed. Why did he have to pray for rain?
Because he needed the grass. The grass wasn't there.
What purpose?
Kadosh Baruch Hu is mitavel. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillah of tzadikim. Okay? Again, a tremendous amount of depth, but Rav Nachman Bar Papa Havyalei Hahi Ginasa. So Rav Nachman Bar Papa had a garden. Shade Be Bizrane. So he throws down the seeds, Velot Samach. Okay, and nothing's working. By Rachameh, so he davened. Asa Mitrovit Samach. Amr Hainu de Ravasi. Now I get it. Okay, Tefillah. Amr Rav Chanan Bar Rava. Hashesua birya bifne atzma. Okay, as I pointed out, big theme of today's daf and yesterday's daf is this week's parsha. So one of the creatures that is mentioned is hashesua. Okay, so birya bifne atzma hu sheyesh la shnei gabim v'shnei shedraos. So it is a independent birya. It's an independent creature. It has two backs and two spines.
Wow.
Now, again, spent a lot of time today talking about some strange creatures. Now, this is what? This is an actual creature. This is a mutation, a mutated creature. So, take a look. You look at the side of the Gemara. This Gemara is in Nida as well. Daf Chavdalet. So you take a look at Tosus over there. Tosus over there says that we're talking about a mutated creature. Okay. Any. Take a look at Tosus over there. Okay. So Vechi Moshe Rabbeinu Kinigi Hayalo or Bilstri Haya. So now, what do you think? You think Moshe Rabbeinu was a hunter? You think Moshe Rabbeinu was a archer? I mean, he was a shepherd, but he was right. Was in other words, you really expect Moshe Rabbeinu to know every creature of the world? Mikan Shuva LaOmer Ein Torah Min Hashamayim. Okay, and for those people, right, one of the arguments, right? Someone says, you know, Moshe made up the Torah, right? If he really made up the Torah, so then the expectation should be that he knows every creature in the world. The fact that there are creatures out in the world that there's no way that Moshe really knows, and meanwhile he's writing about in the Torah, means that Torah is divine. So Amalei Rav Chisel Av Tachlif Abravim Izuksiv Kenigi Ubilstere Bagartech Uparshech. So the Gemara says those are great words. Kenigi Bilstere, write. Make sure to write that down in your Agadata. Meaning when you say over Agadata, write those words down Uparsha and explain those words. Great words. Other great words the Gemara says. Chamesha Sarne Plishtim. Okay, we are in second half of Sefer Yehoshua. You know, it's the half that people usually skip when they learn Sefer Yehoshua. They right. The first half is the storyline and the plot line. The second half of Sefer Yehoshua is the conquering of the land of Eretz Yisrael and the division of the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's very factual heavy. There's no story, there's no plot line, and it's just difficult to get through. In Perek Yud Gimel Sefer Yehoshua, Chamesha Sarnei Plishtim, five officers of the Plishtim. Ha'azasi, v'ha'ashdudi, ha'ashkoluni, ha'giti, v'ha'akruni, v'ha'ivim. There's no way I read any one of them correctly. No way. Amar, chamisha, v'chashiv shisa. But, okay, despite the fact that I probably did not read it correctly, but nevertheless, here's what we certainly know, that the pasuk in Yehoshua says there are five, and then the pasuk lists six. Okay, and that obviously requires some explanation. Amar, Rabbi Yonasan, arunki, shalahem, chamisha. There are only five that count. Okay, that's it. Right there. Five machers, and you know, the sixth one is, you know, just came with tag along. So Amalei Rav Chisel Rav Tachlifa Baravina Kasav Arnuki Ba'agatach Uparshech. Another great word, right? The Arunki, right? The machers, right? So put that down in your agata as well. Okay, a little bit more for this morning. Upligi de Rav, the Amarav, Avim Mitaman Ba'u. You could take Avim out of the list. Why? Because Avim is not Plishti, he's not a Philistine. Avim is from Taman. Tanya Namihachi, we have this in the Bryce as well. Avim Mitaman Ba'u, Valamini Krashmo Avim, Shi'ivuso is Mekamam. They're corrupt. They're such corrupt people that they're called Avim. Avim from the word Ivu. Davracha Avim, Shi'ivu Lalakus Harbei. Also, they were big idolaters. So, davar achar avim shekol arova sam ochza so avis. Also, when you see them, you get scared. Am Rav Yosef Islay shisari darishine lechol chad v'chad. They have 16 rows of teeth. Okay, don't know what that means exactly, but I'm sure that if I saw that, I'd be scared as well.
There's no picture.
No picture. Okay. Yeah, all right. No. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow, we'll pick it up. Okay, a little bit more. I got it to go tomorrow to finish off the doctor tomorrow, and then bird talk tomorrow. Okay, a lot of good bird talk tomorrow. Okay, please stay tuned.